Honourable Chair and distinguished members, the Global White Line Protection Trust has been asked to present a solution-based approach to the SANParks APNR agreements. Our delegation today represents a number of primary Indigenous stakeholder groupings local to the region of the western border of the Kruger National Park and further afield who have not been consulted in these agreements. As a student of Indigenous knowledge systems over four decades, I'd like to begin by considering the terms of the agreements, beneficiation and benefit sharing, from an Indigenous point of view. Beneficiation was first used in 1881 to refer to extractive use at the peak of the colonial drive. It is a term rooted in domination of the earth and domination of Indigenous cultures. This old, exploitative, colonial concept is not appropriate for new paradigm conservation strategy today. What about benefit sharing? Who and what are benefiting? Indigenous knowledge keepers in the region under review and further afield are clear that benefit sharing, as it is properly intended in relation to ecosystem services, is primarily about how humanity's actions can give back to Mother Nature so that future generations of all species can benefit and flourish. How can we be of service? How can we ensure protection? How can we preserve the greater good? This is the spirit of benefit sharing in Indigenous knowledge systems. When Parliament considers benefit sharing and the benefits and value of this critically important ecosystem for local stakeholders, it behoves them to recognize that value is not limited to money-making schemes, but is anchored in intrinsic ecological and cultural value systems. These values and value systems not only support and uphold civil society and community welfare, but crucially for the continuity of life and health of people and planet, they also support the well-being of the ecosystem in question. From an Indigenous perspective, nature is the primary stakeholder, and all man-made laws regarding nature must therefore consider the benefits for nature. To address benefit sharing, we must therefore take account of who benefited and who carried the costs. Historically, the model for wildlife management in this important region has been one of exploitation of land, animals, and local communities. Little regard was given to local community values and time-honored Indigenous ways of reverential stewardship. Benefit was short-term and to a select few. In drafting the new agreement, we understand that many scientific and conservation bodies were consulted as advocates for the trophy hunting model, motivating the case on what they term sustainable utilization. We also know that some of these scientific and conservation bodies often derive their own funding from trophy hunting outfitters. At the epicenter of the ecosystem under inquiry is a unique animal, a heritage animal, moreover, which according to Indigenous knowledge deserves central focus. We sincerely appreciate the opportunity today to direct this parliamentary inquiry to the special case of the white lion. Endemic to the APNR and Kruger regions at the heart of the UNESCO Kruger to Canyons biosphere, the white lion is a genetic rarity which current evidence shows occurred only in this region. According to African wisdom keeper Credo Mutwa, this region of South Africa was protected as a sacred site many hundreds of years before the declaration of Kruger as a national park because of the natural reoccurrence of the white lions in this region. The fact that the white lion's ancestral wilderness lands has now been identified by the United Nations as one of the world's most important biosphere regions testifies that the site of the white lion's natural occurrence should be officially classified as a global heritage site. Regarded as the king of kings by Indigenous members of the local Tsonga and Sepedi communities, a belief supported by other Indigenous authorities around the globe, their iconic cultural value is matched by their conservation importance for the biodiversity of this wildlife ecosystem. However, instead of being protected in their naturally occurring range, as we would expect of any heritage animal, They have been systematically and forcibly removed over a documented period of 6 decades. Today, white lions are held captive in zoos and circuses worldwide, or worse, speedbred to benefit South Africa's notorious cage-killing industry. In the APNR region, white lions became technically extinct due to these forced removals from their natural system. As a consequence of this exploitative post-colonial model, the community and community values have also been compromised. Those who honor indigenous wisdom recognize that the dignity and welfare of communities is directly linked to the survival and well-being of their iconic animals. The white lion in particular is regarded as critically significant, whose survival is imperative to the health of people and planet. Models for benefit sharing exist in the UNESCO Biosphere Declaration, which emphasizes the importance of indigenous knowledge systems in order to, quote, enhance the conservation of biodiversity and cultural heritage, maintain ecosystem services, and foster the sustainable and equitable use of natural resources. As a long-standing community-based conservation organization registered in 2002, the Global White Lion Protection Trust has pioneered a benefit-sharing model on the western boundary of the Kruger National Park, together with communities with whom we have partnered since 2004. These communities include the Molotele Nation represented here and Manisi Nations, as well as the First Nation Khoisan peoples. Founded on the twin objectives of community and conservation, our public benefit organization is committed to mutual benefits for lions, land, and people in the greater Kruger area. We have implemented a multi-level strategy which celebrates cultural heritage and eco-education, uplifts welfare, and revives the biodiversity of wildlife alongside the cultural diversity of human life. Since commencing our initiatives in this region, our NGO has invested over 100 million rand in protecting the unique white lions within their natural habitat and directed over 100 international cultural donor groups into our remote rural Acorn Hook community on the western borders of the Kruger. However, in spite of the success of this inspiring benefit-sharing model that espouses mutual benefits, the indigenous stakeholders have not been consulted in the agreements under inquiry, leaving the status of the white lion today as nothing short of catastrophic. Although we are the authority on the rare animal in question, the Global White Lion Protection Trust has also not been invited as stakeholders into the discussions and resolutions in the agreement, which has as its basis a trophy hunting bias. It is important to point out that in 2008, when we brought the case of the white lions before Parliament, our current government showed commitment to ensure the survival and well-being of the white lion, both as a national and global heritage. On the 20th of February 2008, a parliamentary meeting of the Portfolio Committee was called to address this issue. At this committee meeting, ANC parliamentary members raised concerns about the unethical and ecologically irresponsible trophy hunting of lions taking place in the APNR, and further concerns were raised that the Kruger National Park was failing to take responsibility for the protection of the white lions and to deal with perpetrators of the canned hunting, trophy hunting within the Thimbivati region. It was noted and gazetted that the white lions are not only a conservation heritage, but an important cultural heritage of inestimable value to local indigenous communities, given their sacred symbolism within African societies. At this time, community stakeholding of this heritage species was the central focus of the Global White Lion Protection Trust to the committee, and accordingly, parliamentary members emphasized that it was government's responsibility, and particularly that of provincial government, to ensure their protection. In conclusion, it was gazetted that the chairperson assured the committee would ensure that the white lions were protected by legislation. He advised that the national parks must be prepared to answer for their failure to present to the committee. He added that the protection and conservation of the white lions had to be treated as a matter of urgency, given the conservation, ecotourism, and cultural value. What efforts has the South African Parliament made to follow through on their responsibilities identified in that Portfolio Committee meeting of 2008? Significant efforts, initially. In the same years that committee meeting took place to protect the rare white lions, the Bloemfontein High Courts ruled in favour of the South African government to prohibit the practice of captive breeding for killing of lions, then termed canned hunting. However, as you are aware, Honourable Chairman, South African policy drastically changed 2 years later with the astonishing Supreme Court ruling in 2010, when government's efforts to prohibit the captive lion industry were overruled in favour of today's captive breeding for killing of lions. Since this time, South Africa's unique white lion heritage has been systematically decimated by this industry. A newly formulated methodology of gross exploitation of wildlife born on the border of the APNR, which has no precedent in international conservation legislation. At the International World Wilderness Congress, held at that time in 2009, attended by delegates from 54 countries, a resolution was passed to have the white lions listed for protection. This resolution was tabled by indigenous nations from around the world and endorsed by multiple scientific and conservation entities, including the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and the Global Big Cat Alliance. It was resolved that the World Wilderness Congress supports the recognition of the white lions as a unique spiritual animal, sacred to the traditional indigenous peoples and an important part of the biodiversity of the natural world. This and other examples make it clear that the white lions are regarded as a global heritage. It is unacceptable for regional landowners to destroy a global heritage. In indigenous wisdom, the white lion is understood to have occurred for a reason, being a natural index or precursor to ice age conditions, which are dependent on humanity restoring right relationship with our planet. The white lion's importance for climate change issues becomes more relevant given that the region under inquiry is a classified UNESCO biosphere region. The UNESCO Biosphere Program sets out to promote the understanding of the impact of environmental changes, including climate change, and develop and support mitigation and adaptation actions. Protecting the white lion is of a global significance, and the fact that the agreements under inquiry have failed to do so is of global concern. It is therefore not surprising that in 2004, 55 major cities around the globe marched in protest in a global march for lions, and over 1 million signatures were raised by the international advocacy group AVAZ, calling for our then president to shut down South Africa's notorious captive breeding for killing lion industry, recognized as a blight on this country's international conservation reputation. At this time, members of the Acorn Hook rural community on the western borders of the Kruger National Park marched for their heritage. The white lions are iconic. While their ecological value for this region is yet to be fathomed, their cross-cultural totemic value as an animal embodying enlightened leadership is unquestionable. Furthermore, they are understood by indigenous cultures around the globe to have a high spiritual value and to be the embodiment of ancestry. It is for this reason that one of South Africa's preeminent spiritual leaders, the Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu, delivered a global prayer for the white lions at the time of the global march. Today, all environmental issues are global issues. All environmental issues are interrelated and jointly impact on today's climate crisis. If Brazil destroys its rainforests, the world has lost its lungs. If South Africa destroys its white lions, the world has lost its heart and soul. In the spirit of true benefit sharing, we should be seeking mutual benefits for lions, land, and people in the greater Kruger region. How do we achieve this lofty goal, it would seem, in one of the world's most important ecosystems? Firstly, by applying cutting-edge science in support of indigenous knowledge. Secondly, by uplifting human value systems alongside the restoration of ecosystems. Thirdly, by protecting the white lions within the biodiversity of their naturally occurring home range. Policymakers, both governmental and private, and the agreements under inquiry have adopted a very narrow consumerist view of benefit sharing, one in which benefit is short-term and is shared only amongst a few of the stakeholders. What exactly do we understand as by the term indigenous knowledge systems, and what does it mean to be indigenous? Is indigeneity defined by the community's genes or proximity to the wilderness area, irrespective of whether value systems have shifted into the Western consumerist model? Or is indigeneity defined by those practicing the original deep-rooted ways of plant medicine, earth ceremony, and ancestral worship, creating healing and flourishing for people and planet? Is indigeneity limited to those who walked these lands many thousands of years before today's racial and tribal demographic? Finally, is it true to say that since humanity itself originated in Africa, there are traces of the indigenous in all people who recognize that our role of earth stewardship is service-based rather than self-service? Every nation around the globe connects indigenous with right relationship to nature. So how does benefit sharing look from the perspective of right relationship to nature? Indigenous cultures do not ask what we can extract and exploit from an ecosystem, but rather how can we preserve and serve nature, and moreover, celebrate nature as a living heritage. The reason that indigenous people demand that the white lions be protected as a living legacy in indigenous knowledge systems is that they recognize nature is not merely a commodifying resource, but each and every species is an inheritance which demands our responsible stewardship. It must be living, not only in that it is flourishing in the natural landscape, but it must be alive and well in the hearts, minds, and souls of humanity ourselves. The agreements under inquiry are gravely antithetical to indigenous knowledge systems, risking radical, long-standing, negative impact to South Africa's most important ecosystem, since they directly threaten right relationship between human communities and ecosystems. Living heritage is replaced by dead trophies. The word trophy, as in the stuffed animals on walls that were once proud living heritage, derives from the word atrophy. And I'd ask you, Honorable Chairman, to consult a dictionary for that word. Synonyms include wasting away, withering, shrinking, shriveling, drying up, decaying, deteriorating, degenerating, growing weak, weakening, fading. I can continue. They go on in long streams in the dictionary, but they have just one acronym: to flourish. It is the responsibility of government to protect the Greater Kruger Park as a flourishing ecosystem, not an atrophying lost heritage. There are other conservation models that allow for true benefit sharing. Jason Turner will go on to discuss one such international precedent. There are also successful African precedents, and furthermore, there is increasingly significant international funding support for such initiatives, including the recent pledge of $65 million in support of Africa's wildlife reserves, of which, notably, South Africa was excluded, since this African parks model is based on support for a non-trophy hunting wildlife area. In summary, just as the previous post-colonial agreements between SANParks and the APNR negatively impacted communities and their interests by alienating people from their wildlife and commoditizing their living heritage, so the new Kruger deal perpetuates the sins of the old. Hunting natural game for private gain is unjust and unjustifiable. Destroying a heritage of the indigenous peoples who revere and celebrate the white lions as a living legacy is indefensible. By contrast with indigenous belief systems, Kruger Park officials and private land owners over the last few decades have termed this proud living legacy freaks of nature, even arguing that the white lion should be eradicated from the system, labeling them as an aberration without conservation value. This is more than gross ignorance. It insults the very basis of global indigenous community thinking. Given the lack of proper indigenous stakeholder engagement, any last-ditch reference to excluding white lions from trophy hunting quotas in the new Kruger National Park APNR agreements are inadequate and nothing short of an insult. What was once considered urgent by our portfolio committee in 2008 is now critical. After the colloquium on the captive lion breeding for hunting in South Africa, canned lion hunting and the bone trade, it is painfully evident that our government faces a bloody mess of historical proportions. The legalized abominations are a symptom of the logical endpoint of an entrenched exploitative mindset that measures Mother Nature's value in monetary terms only. The Kruger Park deal, as it currently stands, does the same. Honourable Chair and distinguished members, to ensure that our living heritage is not obliterated forever, this delegation here today and those Indigenous stakeholders in the region in question and further afield implore you to place a moratorium on the hunting of lions in the APNR. For the same reason, in 2005, there was an attempt to place a moratorium on these private nature reserves on the western border of the Kruger by the former Deputy Minister of the Environment at that time. To ensure the benefit-sharing agreements protects the values of the communities in the region, we must make the shift to non-exploitative service-based stewardship of our planet and thereby protect our wildlife as a living legacy for future generations. To consider the practicalities of such a conservation model, I now hand over to lion ecologist Jason A. Turner, who drives the steering committee for declaration of protected areas for the buffer area bordering onto the Kruger National Park. As a lion ecologist who's been studying the lions of this region for over 20 years, now completing a doctoral study on the ecological importance of the white lion, Jason Turner is a significant stakeholder in the region under review.
Okay, Dr. Turner. The whole presentation was allocated 20 minutes each, and Linda has taken almost 30 minutes of it, so we are left with 10 minutes.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. No problem, I've edited my presentation down. I should be able to get it presented in 10 minutes. Thank you again, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues and guests that are here today. As indicated, I have edited the printed version, so I'll indicate the relevant paragraphs so that Honourable Chair and the committee members can follow. To contextualise, not only have I been studying lion ecology in the Greater Kruger Park region for 20 years, but this included 5 years in the APNR from 2000 to 2005, conducting the first study of lion ecology in the APNR since the fences were dropped between the Timbavati, Klaserian and Bobat private nature reserves around 1993. As you've heard from my colleague Linda Tucker, and you will hear from the Aikenhoek and Khoisan community members, the lion, and more specifically the white lion, is culturally significant to the Tsonga, Sepedi and Khoisan people and is therefore a fundamental part of their cultural heritage and consequently their beneficiation. beneficiation needs to be redefined to acknowledge indigenous knowledge and cultural beliefs that do not only place a sustainable utilization value, but also a cultural or intrinsic value on lions and other wildlife. The trophy hunting by the APNR of lions potentially carrying the rare white lion gene and the forced removals of the white lion from ancestral land to which it naturally belongs is therefore putting this cultural and global heritage at risk. The study by Lagendijk and Gusset in 2008 determined that the lion is culturally significant to the local communities on the western boundary of the Kruger Park near Manuleti. Moreover, it determined that being an animal of cultural significance, these communities did not advocate the killing of lions despite incidents of human-lion conflict. Other global studies have had similar findings for the snow leopard in Nepal and the jaguar in South America. The cultural value of an animal or species to indigenous communities is recognized as an important reason for protecting species and ecosystems internationally by organizations such as the International Union for Conservation of Nature, and locally by Sanparks' own large mammal specialist, Dr. Sam Ferreira, as he stated in an interview of the 50-50 Nature Program in 2014. Over the five-year period that I was based in the APNR, I worked closely with the reserve management and attended the joint committee meetings between the APNR and Sanparks, gaining a clear understanding of management policies in the APNR and how management decisions are made, especially in terms of lion management and trophy hunting. To add to the list presented by colleague Louise DeVille, during the time I was based in the APNR, four pride male lions were trophy hunted, and there have been several incidents of pride males being hunted subsequently. This is in breach of the APNR's own hunting protocol, and more importantly, in contravention of globally recognized ethical and responsible ecological principles, removing the strongest genetics and leading to long-term lion pride disruption due to the infanticide that follows. I'll skip through to point 12. What is needed to ensure the protection of this cultural heritage, i.e. the white lion, in the region of its origin is a shift in paradigm. Conservation management policies evolve over time as new knowledge is acquired. For example, in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, it was believed that there was an overpopulation of lions and spotted hyena in the Kruger Park, which was believed to be causing the decline in zebra and wildebeest numbers, and therefore significant numbers of lions and hyena were culled. It was then determined that there was not an overpopulation of these predators. Rather, the decline in zebra and wildebeest was due to human intervention, too many artificial water holes which disrupted the natural movement patterns of these plains animals, making them more susceptible to predation. The APNR and Sanparks agreement needs to shift in paradigm so that it respects rather than dismisses indigenous knowledge systems and incorporates these important knowledge systems into local policy and national legislation. International precedents, such as that of the spirit bear in British Columbia, Canada, have helped illustrate how effective such new paradigm thinking is for long-term sustainability of a country's greatest natural asset. The spirit bear is a white color variant of the black bear that is culturally significant to the First Nations Kitisou people, but is also a flagship animal for protecting the biodiversity of the entire ecosystem and is therefore protected by law from being hunted. Consequently, it is recognized that the beneficiation of these indigenous communities is not received through trophy hunting, but by being true stakeholders in the benefits of land custodianship, access to renewable resources, and ecotourism within the greater conservation area, the 4 million hectare Great Bear Rainforest. Moving to point 16. In the same way as the legislative protections for Canada spirit bear, a moratorium on lion trophy hunting needs to be put in place in the APNR to prevent the trophy hunting of pride male lions and carriers of the white lion gene. To allow the hunting protocols to be adequately reviewed and the frequency of occurrence study to be conducted in this region, a moratorium would need to be in effect for a minimum 3-year period. Since the genetic marker or DNA code for the white lion was successfully identified in 2013, the frequency of occurrence of the white line gene in the APNR and Kruger Park can now be determined and gene carriers identified. A moratorium is therefore an essential next step in national policy making, which will enable the country to protect the gene pool and gene carriers in the region under inquiry, to ensure that this local and global cultural heritage, fundamental to the beneficiation of the communities on the western boundary of the Kruger Park, is adequately preserved for future generations. The important role that the associated private nature reserves have played in extending the borders of the Kruger National Park is widely recognized both historically and in the current inquiry. But trophy hunting must be in accordance with ethical, responsible conservation management and cannot be at the expense of a local and global cultural heritage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was very good. You did it in 8 minutes. 2 minutes less than what you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Okay. I guess the last presenters will be community members. Let me see, who do we start with? Is Prince John Chilwani.
Honourable Chair, in order to introduce the background to the Molotele Nation, there's been a request for the showreel of their celebration in that region to be shown.
A what?
A short video that shows their celebration in that region.
Okay. Is the sound there?
Yeah, unfortunately we can't get the sound working, Honourable Chair.
Okay. Let's just look at the visuals.
Okay. Let's just show the visuals for now. I'll try and get it.
Honourable Chair, if I could ask, with assistance, I'm sure we could sort this out while the other presentations are taking place. To show it without the sound, I think, would be defeating the object.
Okay. I thought this is the last presentations.
This would be part of the presentation of the Molotele Nation.
Okay, we've got three community groups, the Akonuk Traditional Healers Association and the Lawfeld and National Khoisan Councils. And then, of course, is the Molotele Traditional Authority. Okay, maybe let's allow you to sort out the sound issue. And then allow a person from Akonuk Traditional Healers Association. Or is it part of the group, part of the video, Linda?
So, part of the video is the
The video was to prepare the parliament for their presentation, but I'm sure that they are capable of speaking for themselves
but
now.
I'm,
sir, while
I'm
we
asking whether for the three groups or just for Muletele.
I think all groups would be able to present without this and would give time for technical support. Do we have technical support to get the sound?
That should have been requested before, Linda. That should have been requested prior. We do have people who assist with this, but you have to arrange first for them to come.
Thank you. We'll see what we can do.
Must we proceed?
Yes, kindly proceed.
Okay. So we start where with Muletele. Okay? I don't know who's going to lead, but you'll sort yourself out there.
I greet you all.
Thank you, Chairman, for giving me this time to talk. I've been sent by the Lion community to come and roar on behalf of them and the Lions. We, the Mapulana, we call ourselves the Lions, because our totem is the lion. This is Tumamina, Kabakala Horka Rumileke community.
Because I've been sent by the community.
We believe that when the lion is killed, the nation is killed. We want Parliament to stop people from killing our lions for the trophies, because the lions in Mpumalanga represent the chiefs and the community at large. And they are our ancestors. When the lions roar, we can hear nature calling. All animals respect that. Don't forget that the lions is the king of the jungle. There are kings in their territories. If the kings in their territories are killed, the land won't balance. We are having the secret star white lions in our region and the Tony lions. We are here to roar for our beloved lions and the community. Please, we want Parliament to stop people and poachers killing our animals and nature. If you allow these animals killings for the trophy, there will be extremely stress in our community.
There will be confusion, there won't be peace, and the nation at large, there will be war.
The territory of the lions has created jobs for our people. People are flying from overseas to see the big five animals only in Mpumalanga. We want our great children to see the big five. If all animals are hunted, where are you going to work? What will the tourists come and see in our region? Killing the white lions for the trophy is like killing an albino for a medicine. Was that? Please stop killing our heritage. They are God's creatures. God created them with love. They will die when the time is right. Because we all know that one day we are all going to die. We don't deserve to be killed for medicine. The drone that we got to be on a real hormone over a job of our little power for a job of our calling. Sorry.
There wouldn't be prisons if ever people were entitled to be killed and animals are also to be killed.
But today, Ramakala, or why? The powerful century of Lawa, and never left about Hona would born.
When we grew up, there were those game rangers who were all over, guarding over our animal heritage so that they need not be killed, so that they should not be extinct, for our future children to see these animals.
Batau ba gamletele ba gana but no to killing of animals.
But Tau, the clan of Mulitele, say no to the killing of animals.
Ke batau ba hotsha boneng la khomolo motho ba ba ganang ba re awwa yo yona ga e khonege.
That is the clan from Shakwaneng who say please please that must definitely stop.
Ke khopela lebelele mo bukai.
I want us to look at this book, all of us.
Bukai e dirilwe ke bana ba sekolo bana ba lebe ba le mola ba dira di project mola ba topela di waste tsa di zimba eng ba dira dibuka dibuka tse re ba fetsa go di dira ba tsea di picture tsa di white lions ba di beya ka montle ka mo di tourist re di tla di etela mo dikolong mo di project tse di dirang ke di star lions ba kgona go bona go reka dibuka tse re ba fetsa go di reka tšheletse ya bona ya donate la di offense ya boya ya dira gore bana go be le drop in center ya di star lions mo e leng gore bana ba kgona ba dithuana ba kgona go robala ba jile ba sa robale ka tlala.
This book was handcrafted by the children that you saw busy on a project on the screen right now. They do this, they made this book out of waste material and they also pasted the white lions in front of it on the hardcover of the book itself. So out of the proceedings of all these things, they sell them and the proceedings are used to buy food for the destitute so that they should not sleep on an empty stomach.
Ramakala today re san phekebola e nya ka go dumellana le gore di phofolo di huntiwe rena ga le ka community we are from there but are ba tsebe are so tshwere ba bona dikolong tsa rena ba tshile as Sandpack rena bona dikolong di kitima e le Sandpack batho ba ya go bona ba ya go bona di phofolo batho ba shuma ba re sa batsiwe gore ba tshokae community ya rena I benefit from that rena makala re bona batho ba shuma rena bile be re tsa gore Sandpack maybe it's from overseas.
We are surprised to see Sandpack in our community going up and down. We just see the vehicles going up and down. We were even thinking that maybe these people are from overseas.
So, khosi arna khosi chilano sa changwe thobalela ka di 1 tsa December. O ba ipitsa re ke na the white lion because o ba bona the white lion se leng tsona di tsana ka ra community ya ga e leng tsona di kgona go tla di tlomolosha di modumedisha di mo tsa re go direga eng unlike the Sandpack are so e bona e se bile ga mo letele gore ke kae.
Our chief who just passed away in December used to call himself a white lion because he sort of he was a friend of these white lions who used to come into the community to greet him, unlike the Sandpacks who come from nowhere, where we cannot even explain.
Let us all take our rightful role and make a rightful difference to our environment by saving the environment. If you lie, you will feel uncomfortable. If you work with the truth, you will balance. I thank you. I pass this over to Mayor Slowe.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Slowe, le ena kwa Mulitele.
Ke ena wa Mulitele.
Okay, metsotso ya felela mo maritse ka metsotso e 2 minutes.
Sorry, check wa Mulitele mara o bolella dingaka.
Okay. Kwa
speaking on behalf of the traditional leaders, traditional healers, sorry.
Yeah, nikinyako tsewa kwa Akonhoek Traditional Healers Association.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ora le na le 15 minutes then. Okay, ma, ka tswela pele.
Tshovela le khotla. Ke Maria Slow e Kenuk.
You all, I am Maria Slowe from Ekonhoek.
A ke nya go bola bola o tla ka re mmemo ka re sho fitie ka matla. Re tlile ka sona sello sa ditau ka di white lion.
I don't want to go any further because she has taken bigger part of what I wanted to say, but we are here on this pride of white lions.
re re mmusho thushang tle re khotela thusho ka re mo ba bula di white lines bana ba rena tlhago be bona kae bo gwa bya re bune batho.
Government, please help out so that this, the killing of white lions should stop, because if they continue killing them like that, where are our children going to see this precious heritage of the white lions? I thank you.
Honorable committee. Ke ba kwa tie magopane o wela ka traditional healer, a khono traditional healer.
I am a representative of the traditional healers from Ekenhoek.
Now we can hear you there. Okay. Interpreter.
I'm a representative of the traditional healers from Ekenhoek.
Lo rona ka bjale ka re sa emela magotlhele gotlhela dingaka. Dingaka di re rumme gore tle mo palamenteng re tle re tlisa selelo se seo sa ditau.
The traditional healers are sent to send us here in parliament so that we must bring our consent to parliament about the white lions.
Gore re kgopela gore mmušo wa rune wa re o ratang o kgwatlhise seatla godimo ga go bolawa ga ditau tse tse di feu.
Our beloved government must really make it their plight to stop this killing of the lions.
Ka ge e le gore tau ke moya wa sedimo ka rune batho ba badimo.
Because the lion is considered to be a sacred animal.
Ka ge kgoši le kgoši re bona ge e apere letlalo la nkwe.
We see our chiefs to be really chiefs because they are wearing that skin of leopards.
Le rune re le dingaka ngaka re bona ka ge e apere letlalo la tau.
We identify our traditional healers because of the skin of a lion.
Bjale ge go bolaiwa ditau bjale ka mangaka re kwa botlhoko go feta tekano.
If ever the lions are being killed, we really feel sorry for that.
Ka go realo re go dira bowe kgopelo re boikokobetse gore mmušo wa rena o kgwatlise seatla o tšhireletse ka gore lekie ka mokgore kgonang ka gona re paletse bjale re tla mo ntlokgolo gore re tla kry-e thušo.
We are really pleading with you, the government, because we have failed. So you are our only hope who can do that.
Ka lentswe la bongaka re re wena o bolayang tau o madimabe ka gore o bolaya moya wa badimo ba gago.
We as traditional healers, we say that if ever you kill a lion, it's considered to be a bad luck because that one carries the ancestral spirit.
Kudu-kudu di tau tse di tshweu di na le madimabe mo setšhabeng.
Especially those white lions, they do bring bad luck to the community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we then go to the Khoisan, Lowveld and National Khoisan Council?
Honorable Chair, the National Khoisan Council representative, Dr. Willem Langeveld, is unfortunately not well today, but he will send a follow-on submission. And there was a request to present Credo Mutwa's prayer for the white lions, as he is part Khoisan and part Zulu, a plea for the white lions, if there is time permitting.
Present by who?
Credo Mutwa is 97 years old, so he couldn't come himself.
Yes, I know him. I know Credo Mutwa. I'm asking who's going to present on his behalf.
It's been published in this book, so I could read it on his behalf.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. A voice rises from the parched valleys of my ancient motherland, a lonely voice above the hills of eternal Africa, an appeal to those who do not care, those who have no ears. a plea to those who choose to do nothing in the face of monstrous evil. Leave the lions of Timbavati alone. Do not destroy the sacred gods, the sacred lions of the gods of Africa. People come to my motherland, people come to South Africa to brutally murder the white lions of Timbavati in the name of manliness and in the name of sport. The sacred icons of other races and nations in this world are respected, revered, and protected, but the icons of Africa are massacred with cold impunity, sometimes with the connivance of some of Africa's own children. I understand, much to my sorrow, that there is not a single white lion left in the wild, and I ask myself, did we win our freedom for this, this quiet devastation of our country's most sacred animals? Did we, by joining the ranks of the democratic countries of the world, also join those people who see it as their task to denude this planet of all life? Please, leave South Africa's white lions alone. Let them breed once more. Let them walk tall in the wilderness, which is their mother. In the past 200 years or so, the human race has lost much which is of importance in Africa, and it continues to lose much. But what is most terrible, what is most tragic, is that it does not realize what it has lost. One day, in the dark valleys of the future, people will try to turn back. They will try to investigate and look into the past of African humankind with wide open eyes, but they will find very little because so much has been obliterated. When an animal is killed in Africa, that animal takes a large slice of African knowledge into oblivion with it, because most of the sacred knowledge that Africans possess is intimately intertwined with the animal life as well as plant life of this continent. I would just like to point out, Honorable Chairman, that this plea for Africa, which is, he has asked to be read today, was first presented to Parliament in the 90s. So we would need to ask on his behalf, how do we address Credo Mutwa's dire warning that people will try to investigate the African tradition in the dark valleys of the future, but will have had so much obliterated? South Africa's preeminent record keeper delivered this plea in the 90s. What is the purpose of benefit sharing if all that is of true value is lost to future generations?
Okay, thank you very much, Linda, and the rest of the team.
There is representation from the local Khoisan Council in that region on the western borders, or on the borders of the Kruger. Okay.
Linda, you are not running the meeting now. You are not running my meeting.
Apologies, Honorable Chairman. I was answering the National Khoisan Council question.
You are taking over, you are appointing who must speak next, and we don't work like that, please. I've asked if there is somebody from Lawfield and National Khoisan Councils, and I was told that there is a request that an introduction by Credo Mutwa must be read, and we allowed that. So we are done with the councils, Khoisan Council. Unless if there is somebody who...
May I make a presentation on behalf of the Lowveld Khoisan Council, please, Chair?
Yeah, well, I thought there is no one who's going to present on behalf of the Khoisan Council.
I think that's just a misunderstanding.
All right.
My name is David Peterson. My nickname is Oki. I am the chairperson of the Lowveld Khoisan Council, and we are networked with all Khoisan organizations within South Africa, in Southern Africa, and First Nations across the world. Chair, brutal exploitation, dehumanization, and genocide at the height of colonialist aggression sought to wipe out the Khoi, San, and Bushmen. We are still here, and we want to ensure that our sacred white lion will also always be here. The white lion for us is a sacred symbol and intricately woven into our culture, heritage, tradition, and our DNA, the oldest known DNA and probably the building block of all humanity, comes into question. My voice echoes that of our Khoisan ancestors and reflects the voices of all Khoisan Bushmen in southern and South Africa. Chair, our message on behalf of South Africa's Khoisan people. Hundreds of rock paintings in what is today known as the Kruger National Park attest to the fact that we walked, honored, and inhabited these lands many thousands of years before any nation living today. For countless generations, we buried our ancestors on this land. Yet, we are not asking to own the land of the Kruger. We lived in harmony with the pristine land entrusted to us as stewards of God's creation. And we recognize that this land should never be taken away from the animals and plants and rivers whose land it truly is. This land belongs not only to humans and should remain as a living heritage for future generations, just as we, the Khoisan people of South Africa, left it pristine and protected as a living heritage for generations to come. You speak of stakeholders in the new Kruger deal. Who are these so-called stakeholders? Have the First Nations been consulted? Have the animals been asked? Have the plants, the rivers, the earth given its consent? As the lion, king, and primary stakeholder in service of all creation, given authorization for this new Kruger deal? We have already said in Parliament, if you kill the lion, you kill the Bushman people. And now, let it be recorded. If you kill the white lion, you kill South Africa. The ancestral spirit of the land and the lions must be honored and protected if we are to bring peace to our nation. Do not kill the white lion.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir, for the submission to the committee. Is it there, Mr. Peterson? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson, speaking on behalf of the Lowveld Khoisan Councils. Now, we have received all the presentations for today, so we are going to go into interrogation of those presentation by the members here. I hope that they were taking notes as organizations and communities were making their presentation. Now, I must just put it on record that I had a discussion with Dr. Skotny, our content advisor. There seemed to have been an omission on our part as Parliament, which I think we must just bring to the fore, that in addition to the communities that are present here, we also needed to have other communities that are affected by this agreement. especially those that have got land that they are contributing towards the agreement, most of which are signatories to the agreement itself, and those who have not yet signed. So we wanted to get them to be here as well, so that they can also talk to us about this agreement, how is it going to benefit them, and so forth. So there is just the omission on our part, which is probably as a result of the break that we had, because we only resumed, Parliament started today officially, so we're not around. We will see how we can attend to that omission, because it's only today and tomorrow that we're having this inquiry. Now, I just want to go back to the issue that I raised earlier, because as I was sitting here, I thought, let's get back to the record so that maybe I'm wrong in my understanding of what is it that we said as the portfolio committee. In terms of the need to revise the agreement. Now, on Wednesday, the 12th of September, the committee issued a statement after meeting with the SANParks, the Department of Environmental Affairs, and the Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency. Now, that was following our colloquium, and a copy of that statement has been distributed, because I want to quote on it so that we can then understand from what the statement was saying, what was the actual resolution of the committee. Well, I'm not going to go through the first paragraph. The second paragraph, the third paragraph, the second paragraph, it says that the recent hunting of a male lion, which took place in Umbabat Private Nature Reserve in Mpumalanga on the 7th of June 2018, highlighted wider issues of concern, both in terms of law governing the hunting in the Kruger National Park and the contractual arrangements between the Kruger National Park and the Association of Private Nature Reserves. And then the third paragraph talks about the TOPS regulation, which I was talking about. And the third one is regarding the TOPS regulation. The next paragraph, it says that the other matter which concerns the committee is the agreement between the Kruger National Park and the Association of Private Nature Reserves, concluded in 1996. We believe that this agreement needs to be revised to ensure that there is sharing of benefit arising from the collapse of the fences in the western boundary of the Kruger National Park in the interest of the broader society. The committee believes that issues of transformation and beneficiation should be taken into account in this agreement. In this regard, the committee has directed SANParks to develop a concept paper on this matter for discussion with the committee in October/November 2018. The committee will hold public hearings to determine the best way forward after its engagement with SANParks. And of course, the last paragraph says the committee also wants discussions to take place around the current hunting protocol that allows hunting of animals in the Kruger National Park as a result of an open system arising from the taking down of the fences between the park and the Association of Private Nature Reserves. The committee wants this protocol to be interrogated to properly account for this system, for which the Kruger National Park prohibits hunting inside the park, but nonetheless animals are hunted when they roam over to the private nature reserve. So this was the last paragraph. So in terms of the resolution of the committee, on the 12th of September, the committee directed, in this regard, the committee directed St. Parks to develop the concept paper for discussions with the committee in October, November. And thereafter, the committee will hold public hearings to determine the best way forward after its engagement with St. Parks. I don't know which part of the statement is confusing. I don't know which part of the resolution of the committee in September, where St. Park was there. This resolution and this committee, this statement was issued out to the public. I don't know which was confusing about the fact that St. Park developed a concept paper, come to the committee in October, November, have a discussion, after which the committee will hold public hearings on this specific matter. Now, that is the first one, which was in September. Now, following this meeting in September, which was very clear, there was a meeting on the 6th of November that took place in the room where we were. We were dealing with three issues. It was the industry waste plants, it was St. Parks, and South African Weather Service, quarter one and quarter two performance. I think members will remember on that day, which was the 6th of November, we could not deal with the industry waste plants because we were told that transport was not arranged. And after we adjourned, Darren then said, no, there is transport which has been organized, because it was already around 8 at that time. I think members will remember that meeting. So I've got a copy of the transcript of the meeting from Parliamentary Monitoring Working Group, which records the discussions in the meeting. Now, what happened here is that the Weather Service was the first to start. They presented their first and second quarter, and then followed by the South African National Parks. The CEO was presenting, and Mr. Dumisani Dlamini, the CFO, briefed the committee. I think it was on the financial aspect. So I'm not going to go through everything that was reported, but I just want to go to the most important part here. And I want to read it here. It says, the chairperson responded that the committee wanted to understand the key elements that were going to be agreed upon, what was going to be the responsibility of the private nature reserve, what was going to be the responsibility of St. Parks, what would be the benefits accruing to the community. Mr. Nketeni responded that they reported all these elements. Suppose it's the draft agreement. The chairperson said that the committee will schedule a briefing on the issue by St. Parks sometime next month. So this was a record of the meeting. The record of the meeting with the portfolio committee, and this was on the the 6th of November. I don't know which part of this record is confusing, because what this record says is that we were informed that there is a draft agreement that was prepared. Of course, there was a discussion to see why the draft agreement, when there was supposed to be a concept paper developed and briefed on it so that the hearings can take place. But we nevertheless said the committee will then schedule Sen Parks to come and brief us sometime next month. And this was in November, on the 6th of November. Now, I don't understand which part is confusing of this records. And of course, we, over and above all of this, there is a BRRR report that was generated by the committee dated the 23rd. This was after the annual reports. Where we dealt with the annual reports of the department as well as all the entities. And I just want to go to the recommendations that was ultimately adopted by Parliament. conclusions and recommendations. Send part 7.2, bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here the BRRR report says Send parts should submit a detailed report on beneficiation by black communities around the western boundary of Kruger National Park. And this was published on the 23rd of October. But we know that it was subsequently approved by Parliament in November. So we've got a BRRR report approved by the House in November. We've got minutes of the meeting. We've got a committee statement of September the 12th, which was also published for public consumption, and I'm sure it Sen Parks got a copy of this because we were all in the same meeting. We've got a meeting of the 6th of November of the committee that said exactly the same thing. Since still, Sen Parks went ahead with the signing, despite all of these things, despite the engagement and the discussions between the chairperson and the CEO, and the chairperson of the committee, the CEO of Sen Parks, and the chairperson of the board. This can't be a misunderstanding. Somebody must tell me what this is, if it is not complete and total defiance of Parliament. Not even the committee, but the House itself has taken that resolution. Now, I want Sen Parks, when we engage, to tell us how do we remedy this situation, because clearly there has been a defiance of the directives of Parliament and of the committee, despite the fact that we're sitting in the same meeting. All of these things that we've said have been disregarded, they've been defied, they've been ignored. We're sitting with a situation where there was an agreement that was signed with the community, despite that we needed to be briefed and conduct hearings and do all of these things. So I would like Sen Parks to tell us how then do we take this process forward, because it cannot just be water under the bridge. We cannot allow that situation. It will be a sad day that this Parliament is going to be undermined like this by a state-owned entity, by an entity of the department, even if it was by the department, that was going to be the first day in the history of this country. So you need to tell us how then do we move forward with regard to that. Now, what was supposed to happen today, I had expected that that draft agreement was supposed to come here, and so that we are briefed on the key elements of the agreement. And this is what I said on the 6th of November. What will be the role of SANParks, private nature reserves, the communities? What benefits are going to accrue to the benefit? What are the key features of the agreement that has been drafted, or the agreement to be entered into at a later stage? And that we have not even heard. All what we have heard is a long submission. Why must there be? We agree about the expansion of the protected areas, about adding more land to the protected areas. That one we agree with. There is no question about that. The issue was the dropping of the fences. That, in our view, was something that was only benefiting the private owners. And we said the community must benefit. So I hope that SANParks is taking notes. Together with the department, they will respond to all of these things at a later stage. But yeah, let's open it to members and to take questions, comments. On all the presentations that have been made, there is one gentleman who presented and left. Apparently, he's got a meeting. It's Mr. Colin Bell. He did say that he's going to be excused during lunch. Okay, honorable members, is it a graveyard session? You look exhausted. All right, Honorable McQuayle and Honorable Pedden.
I'm not in a hurry to make a presentation or future. Honorable Pedden may start if it does not mind.
Okay, Honorable Pedden, you want to give it a shot?
Yes, I'm looking for some clarity. You've asked lots of questions which hopefully will be answered. But the way I understand it, and this is where I want clarity, is that there's a distinctive difference between a cooperative agreement and a beneficial agreement. And the way I understand it, and I'm open to correction, is the cooperative agreement is to get people around the table, because when I look at the list of the people, the signatories, it's not an easy bunch to deal with. Now, I'm not trying to defend anybody. I'm just trying to get clarity here. And then once these cooperative agreements have been signed, which have been a lengthy negotiation, as we know, then the beneficiation agreements get negotiated. That's the way I understand it. Now, I want someone, whether it's Kruger or SANParks, to explain that. I'd also like to know how many of these people have actually signed this agreement. There's 15 on this list, but how many have actually signed? Also, if any benefit-sharing agreements have been signed, maybe I'm not understanding it correctly, or has it only been the cooperative agreement that's been signed? The other thing I think we need to know as a committee is that when you're dealing with agreements and contracts and things of that nature, legal fees and legal implications are substantial. So I think we need to know, were there any legal ramifications if these agreements were not signed? Because you're dealing with a lot of lawyers, I'm guessing, representing these different entities, the signatories. So are there legal ramifications and costs? Because obviously it affects the budget of Sandparks. And when I say, as I say, when I look at the length of the, and some of the players here, I actually imagine they were quite difficult negotiations. So if someone can explain that. But I think another important thing is these agreements, the cooperative agreement, if someone can explain who will police the agreements, I think we need to know that. And do they contain strict enforcement provisions and non-compliance penalties? It's one thing having a thing on paper, but if you're not going to police it, it's not worth much. The other things, I think when we talk of beneficiation, and maybe I'm jumping the gun, KNP or Sandparks, I think we need to know as a committee what the relationship between Public Works is and the parks, because there's substantial infrastructure and maintenance projects that Public Works deal with. So if someone can explain, and of course the expanded Public Works, are there current program runnings? I'm trying to find a way forward for the beneficiation possibilities. And certainly, I think these are certain things that can be revisited when we talk about negotiating beneficiation, not we, when the Sandparks do. We need to know what the policy is regarding SMMEs, because beneficiation, SMMEs, what are the development and support programs? Are there support programs? Are there development programs? Chair, I've got many more, but I think that's enough for the time being.
Honorable Makubela.
Chair, thanks. There's a question that probably needed to be answered first, Chair, particularly by Sandparks, as to what does this agreement we are talking about entails, what is it exactly, its nature, so that we don't move about asking questions that perhaps may be irrelevant. If we could be cleared on that one, Chair, we'll come to the rest of the issues. Otherwise, we'll repeat ourselves when, in fact, we're out of order. Perhaps let's allow them to clear what has been signed. And we'll immediately make follow-ups and come with our questions thereafter.
Okay. Well, I nearly forgot, you know, the colloquium report, I'm sure members remember, was unanimously adopted by the House. Was it in December or in November? I'm not sure of the date. But even the report of the colloquium.
What? By the House.
Okay. The committee secretary is telling me that it was adopted on the 12th of November. That report was unanimous. All members, all political parties represented in the House agreed with that report from the colloquium. And the report was also very specific on the issue of what must happen in the Western Boundary. It calls for the development of the concept paper, that it must be done, it must be sent to us. It's in black and white. So in fact, I'm adding the fourth issue that if all these other ones were to be ignored, but that one was there. So we have got two resolutions of the House that St. Parks has violated, has ignored completely. So I nearly forgot this one, but Honorable Makubela is asking what are the key features of this agreement. I'm not sure whether we'll get that now, because that must constitute a presentation, because that's what I said I expected to have, to say this is what the agreement says, not even the draft at this stage, that these are the parties, the first, this is what is supposed to happen, this is the responsibility of the St. Parks, this is the responsibility of the other parties. This party will contribute so many hectares of this land as part of its contribution to participate. This party will do this, this party will do this. This will be the contribution of the Association of Private Nature Reserves. And these are the benefits that are going to accrue. I'm not sure whether you can do it now. That is something that should have been prepared so that we can be presented with that one.
No, Chair, I'm not looking for that. That will still come in terms of what the agreement, the content and all of that. What I wanted is the nature, because there's always a differentiation here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when the nature of the agreement that was signed. Okay. Is it the cooperative one? Is the beneficiation one? What is it? So that we talk the same thing. We're on the same footing. Because I see we may be talking past each other until we're clear.
All right. Over to St. Parks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the honorable members for the questions. Chair, perhaps I'll make a request at the end after we've attempted to respond to the questions. Chair, I got, firstly, I never got the statement of Parliament. But even before, I never got one. Point number one. Point number two, Chair, I never saw the minutes except today of Parliament. Number three, Chairperson, even on the results of the colloquium, I got different versions. The last version I got from Sony last week, I had an old one, because when we came to Parliament the other day, the Parliament wanted to sign off. There was a request that members want to read it. Therefore, I never received those ones. All my versions, I always, it's a recollection from the proceedings of Parliament when I meet my team. Because normally, after every Parliament, we will say what is the understanding of what is required. But the documents where I can proofread, I only saw some today, and then Shoni gave me the version last week when we were preparing for Parliament. At some point, Chairperson,
sorry, CEO. Well, you are part of the meeting of the 6th. When was the statement issued? The 12th of September. You were in the meeting. Yes, you were in a meeting. When we were at the new wing there, there was on the 5th floor. So you don't remember what was discussed in that meeting? That there must be this concept paper, that it must be presented in October, and that we must consult, that we must do public hearings. That you don't remember, and you don't remember seeing the statements.
Chair, I remember submitting a concept paper. I even remember the day you were reminding me about the paper. I even said, it's too thick, Chairperson. It's on my desk. And then I signed off around the 10th. It was sent through on the 12th of November. I remember the discussion, Chair. But it was not on the 12th. The document was sent to Parliament after that discussion. And then I signed off the document after that meeting.
So you're not on the meeting of the 6th of November?
I was, Chair.
On the first and the second quarter presentation?
Yes, Chairperson. This is where I promised that it's in my desk document, it's being cleaned, it's too thick. And I went back to the office, I worked on it. That's when it was queried on the 12th of November.
Because that's where we resolved that there must be a briefing next month, as it is coming in the minutes. But anyway, it's fine. Go to the other ones. I hear you don't remember this, you don't know this, you don't. I wonder who's supposed to communicate the decisions of Parliament. Maybe there must be a special arrangement where the chair after the meeting drives to your offices and present you with the resolution. Is that the expectation? Is there no one who's supposed to communicate what we have decided? Even when you're in the committee, we said this is what must happen, you still don't remember. Somebody must still remind St. Parks. I don't know, but maybe the department will respond. How are these resolutions of Parliament supposed to reach the office? But what I remember, I did have a discussion with the CEO, and I said to the CEO, these are the resolutions of the committee and of Parliament, please don't proceed. I even sent an SMS to say, this is what the committee has decided. That one you also don't remember, CEO.
Chair, I remember these issues. Hence I'm saying, Chairperson, the versions. I remember all the discussions in Parliament. I rely on my own notes and our debriefing we do. I remember, Chairperson, you called me on the 5th of December. I was in Kruger. You also sent me an SMS on the same day. I remember those discussions, Chairperson. The request I'm going to make, Chair, once I have responded to other questions, was that in terms of us defying Parliament, I would like to come back tomorrow and give a full response on all of these issues, because I need to consult with the team on most of these things and also get clarity from DIA in terms of processing the documents. That's that one, Chair. Chair, on honorable pardon, the beneficiation agreement is different from the bigger agreement. I'm also responding to Honorable Kubele's question, the nature of the agreement. It is about stakeholders agreeing, working together, agreeing, regularizing the relationship to avoid the confusion of the past. This is the essence of the overall agreement. In the way forward of my presentation, you will also see, Chairperson, I attached in the back that we sent to the Parliament the copy of the agreement. There are even committees that are prescribed in the document that will deal with certain issues. Therefore, the overall agreement talks to principles of socio-economic beneficiation, issues of conservation, is broad. Hence, after the agreement, parties will agree in packaging different types of beneficiation. That's one. Where there's a beneficiation in place, is the one with claimant community. that one is almost 99% complete. Even that one will be signed soon. We're just waiting for dates around March, the one for land claimants. That one is clear, is packaged already. This is a slide I showed earlier in that circle in the board to say these are the components. That one has been negotiated because those are for the people claiming the land which is part of Kruger National Park as we speak. The overall agreement, it talks even about the outside, any form of benefit, any form of output, the parties had to agree how they are going to transact and benefit on that one. Also, Honourable Patton, on the SMMEs, I also indicated in my slides earlier in the day to say there are key departments who will be expected to facilitate community participation in the business of Kruger National Park. Because St. Park cannot do all of that. As a result, we have already planned a workshop of all those departments, starting from the Land Claims Commission, the Department of SMME, Agriculture, because Kruger Park is there. It has got business for people to benefit, but key departments must come and do that facilitation. Therefore, we are not prescribing how the details in the broader cooperative agreement. On the issue of lawyers, I remember, Honourable Members, in one meeting where I also met NGOs, because we had some series of meetings even after Parliament. I met the foundation, the landowners. They brought their lawyers. They are paying for their lawyers, Chairperson, Honourable Members. It was a legal discussion because some of the landowners were saying, what about our rights? What about our constitution? We said, you sort out your constitution, but the bottom line, we want to sign an overarching agreement to work together to avoid the chaos. I would like Chairperson Glenn, Marissa, to add on some of the points that I have raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chair. So firstly, in terms of the signatories to the agreement, Marissa will just answer and just check this one that is, that we've got the letter of signatories not actually formally signed, but that's in the letter. I'll get Marissa to confirm that. There are no beneficiation agreements signed at this point in time. That is the next step, to start the negotiation from a platform where we're all going in the same direction, as opposed to the history where we were all going in different directions. The idea there is to say, firstly, understand what we're all doing, because there's a lot being done, but none of it is really being recorded and being published as to what everybody's doing. And if we can then start understanding what it is that everybody's doing and then use that as a base to move forward in terms of beneficiation, not only within Kruger National Park, but within the landowners who have signed, as well as beyond that in other areas, beyond the boundaries of protected areas. There are some legal from a legal ramifications perspective, we were way over our budget in terms of, even though some of it was funded, in terms of the negotiation process with the lawyers, because it took such a long time. And the CE touched on a few on the meeting we had when it got a little bit tense in the meeting to say we're not going to delay this any further. Some parties, not present here, were delaying signing the agreement, and we had to put a line in the sand to say you're either in or you're out, and if you're out, we start putting fences up. And they are those members were not members who were doing hunting; they were just doing photographic safaris. But they were concerned that their rights were being impinged upon. And at the last minute, they all came to the party and agreed to sign. But we had to put a pressure on because there were delaying tactics starting to come in from some of those landowners. That's hence why it took so long. So it took since 2015 when we started to negotiate this agreement. In terms of support programs, I think Nadi must touch on the support programs if he can. Is he here? Is he still there? Specifically around the land claimants, and then Marissa as well can add to that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, well, I think there was an agreement 1996, and then there's a new one that, as far as I'm aware, does not have any standing and status, because it was not supposed to have been signed. So what is the difference between the two?
Marissa, do you want to answer that one? Or can I go ahead? Okay. Thank you, Chair. So in terms of the old agreement was a very high-level agreement, and then the slides the CEO touched on was only for the APNR. And over time, certain other fences dropped between other properties, but there was never, nothing was ever regulated. When the CEO started the sandbox, one of the first directives given to me at the head of Kruger is to regularize the western boundary from the north to the south. We had all sorts of different agreements. We had traversing agreements where we were receiving no money from certain landowners. We were coming into the park, enjoying the benefits, but we were getting nothing. We had fences dropped where there's no agreement between how we're going to manage movement of animals, how we're going to manage offtakes, how we're going to manage water. There were a whole lot of things that had changed over time that we needed to put in an agreement. The agreement that's signed now is purely an agreement to stay, to agree on what are the key areas we'll focus on, and that we all agree to sit around the table and negotiate on all those areas moving forward based on those principles of the 2002 treaty. Those principles is what is in this agreement. And lastly, in terms of, and it was a question Honourable Purden asked, is how's it going to get managed? So there is a what we call a JMC, a Joint Management Committee, representative of all the landowners, through the cluster system, in other words, because each area around the park has various opportunities and challenges. And that's why it's pointless to have a committee that looks after all the areas. They've got to deal with the specific local concerns they have, given the length of the boundary. Those clusters then report into what we call the JMC. We have no option but to fence them out. Now, in some cases, that's easier said than done, because if the party is not on our boundary, but in an open system, as part of another federal system, for example, it will be those partners to fence them out if they're not adhering. And we have two cases like that right now, who want to hunt but don't want to follow procedure. And both ourselves and MTPA are refusing to issue any licenses to them or any quotas to them because they do not meet the requirements. And if they continue down that road, we will then, through our partnership, fence those individuals out because they're benefiting but not wanting to toe the line. So all this does is gives us a way in which we can negotiate from the same base to move forward with the ultimate desire is to not only grow conservation land, which we agree we need to do, but secondly ensure sustainable beneficiation to communities through a far more focused and joint effort.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, C. In terms of support, obviously there were two key things that we're looking at in terms of community empowerment at this stage. Obviously the beneficiation scheme is in perpetuity. I think the question was how do you support the SMEs? If we're to look at just Kruger alone, they spend close to 39% of their turnover on procuring goods and services. So that's a huge opportunity for local SMEs. So we're starting a program which will support about 60 SMEs from the climate community to participate and benefit directly from those opportunities. So it's going to be an incubation program for the next 3 years. But on top of that, they belong to some traditional council, they belong to some legal entity. So there's a program for the next 2 years to train on governance, eight plus one of the traditional leaders as well as the trustees of the members that are actually overseeing all these claimants. So there are two big programs underway, 120 to be trained on governance, and 60 SMEs to be trained on entrepreneurship. Thank you.
Chair Honourable Purden Makabele, Just to add further, so what has been said, it's a cooperation agreement. It addresses risks, it addresses opportunities, and it helps to look at consistent management for the broader space. So the agreement in 1999 is all the parties. Now, in terms of how many members actually signed, out of the 15 members signed with each other, all that were listed, and out of those 13 signed, then the Ledet managed areas, Letaba Ranch, as well as Maquia committed to sign. They have already sent that through in writing. We had community members sign from Makuleke down to Kijana, down to the Manyaleti, the Mala Malas. Once again, the idea is that we've got a consistent approach between community, between state, and between private areas. The question is what elements? It's on safety and security. It's on conservation management, including disease management, on socioeconomic development, further land inclusion and governance, with a key focus then to regularize all these areas according to your Protected Areas Act. The beneficiation scheme will be then developed through this process. It was a very difficult process to negotiate over the past 3 years. And the legal implications also is from a safety and security perspective. If we don't have the same land use status and we are not regularized, it makes it very difficult to deal with wildlife security issues. It's open systems, but you can't pursue between different land uses of different statuses. So there are implications from a safety and security perspective, from a land security perspective in terms of land use changes. And the way that we deal with policing it is through the committees that were established, but also all parties need to be regularized within the next 5 years, assign management authorities, develop management plans. If they are not compliant with it, you need to comply with the norms and standards for private nature reserves, which were published on 3 November 2017. You might lose your status, you might be fenced out. So there's a lot of implications. In terms of development programs, in addition to what my colleague Nali mentioned, there is the opportunity for the expanded public work programs through the biodiversity social projects or your infrastructure development programs, dealing with the restoration of areas, as well as dealing with environmental monitor and a range of other programs. But that's the basis of the cooperation agreement then to further unpack those opportunities.
Okay, you are done with the questions. Maybe we must call it a day and then go rest and come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we have got banned animal trading. We have got Mr. W. Jackerman. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. My apologies if I'm not. And then Sandparks is going to respond. And then DIA is also going to respond. But I think one of the major hurdles that we need to pass is how then do we deal with this clear defiance of the decisions of the committee and of parliament. How are we going to remedy that situation? And I would like Sandparks and the department to go and discuss and come and propose a way forward out of that. I don't want us to impose or to discuss among ourselves as a committee so that we come up with a decision, because it might be something that you might not like. I think now that we are still here, we are still cooperating, that spirit of defiance might be because you are far from Parliament, you are at your offices, so you said this ones are in Cape Town. We are here, we're in charge, we take decisions, we're implementing, we're going ahead. So now that we're all here, go and have a discussion and probably interact with the DG and the minister and then come and present something that might be acceptable to the committee tomorrow. Because there's one thing that I can assure you, for as long as I'm the chairperson now, I will never allow Parliament to be undermined by any entity of government. If it means that we must invoke whatever authority, whatever power that we have to make sure that we are being listened to, you must be rest assured that's what we are going to do. So we don't want to get to that stage. We want you to go and discuss a solution. Tomorrow you present, and then we take it from there. But of course, we'll still take the presentations of the other organizations that are there. I think there's only two, and the responses thereafter. So that we're able to move forward. Tomorrow, I don't think that we need a defensive attitude. Don't want anybody to come here with a defensive attitude and be technical about the whole thing, because this thing is not technical. These are things that are happening in the public space, decisions that are taking place in the open. Resolutions that we communicate publicly, the resolutions of the House, they are available everywhere. Through the ATC, we announce them. The minutes of the sittings of Parliament are always available. So these are public documents, publicly available. I don't think it can be a defense to claim ignorance. You will ignore that you don't know that Parliament has approved a particular law. You know, in law they say ignorance of the law is not a defense. I'm sure those of you who are lawyers here know very well. You can't say that I'm not aware that I was not supposed to do this. You should have been aware. Especially if you are a public official, it must be your duty to know. Especially if you are told that, hey, this thing you can't do because of 1, 2, 3. So let's adjourn it here. Unfortunately, there is not many questions that we can direct to yourself, your colleague, Lebo Mewako community, because I think your point is very clear. Straightforward. The only issue though that needs to be discussed with SANParks is how then do we ensure that there is a balance and coexistence between what the Constitution says can be done around the issues of sustainable use and your presentation, because there must be a balance at some point. So striking that balance is something that we always encourage. And we've always been clear that we support what is in the Constitution as a committee until the Constitution is changed. So the principle of sustainable use of the natural resources is embedded in the Constitution. And we are here as members of Parliament to make sure that the Constitution is implemented, is observed. We took an oath to defend that constitution. So whatever that is in that constitution, we are going to defend. But then there has to be a balance, and that balance has to be managed by the department and SANParks. So tomorrow we adjourn, members. Come back tomorrow, get that presentation. Unfortunately, it will be difficult to proceed without having finalized and resolved on this one. But I can tell you it's quite a very issue, very fundamental issue for us. as particularly for myself. So thank you very much. Let's adjourn. See you tomorrow. Tomorrow what time are we study? Is it 9:30? Okay, tomorrow we just have to be strict with time because I got a clear message from the office of the speaker and the chairperson of the house that tomorrow by 12 o'clock we must finish because there is need to do some drills, security and stuff to prepare for the sauna that is taking place on Thursday. Okay, thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.